Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Well, you've got Bruce Hall. It's going to be a great show. We've got a big NFL weekend planned. Watched football yesterday all day long. I had a great time. Generally speaking, I don't watch as much NCAA football as I do NFL football because I don't handicap NCAA football like I do NFL football. Although, if you do handicap NCAA football, there are more doors open to you from a standpoint of being right, in my opinion. It's not quite as tough to handicap college football, and there's several reasons for that. One of the biggest reasons, in my opinion, is they try to please so badly at the college level for the alumni who, for one reason or another, bet on the games. And, you know, it's a lot easier to run up a score than it is to not run up a score. In the NFL, it's all about W's. There aren't any formulas. There's not a playoff system where, you know, when they were doing this past few years, there would be certain college teams that literally had to run the score up to move on the list. And in the NFL, nobody cares about that. In the NFL, they care about trying to get as few people as possible injured each week. They care about scoring points when they get an opportunity, when they get in the red zone. They care about playing good defense. They care about causing turnovers, not turning the ball over on offense, and basically just making it to the playoffs. Once you make it to the playoffs in the NFL, even as a wild card, it's totally different than Major League Baseball wild card, as you know. In Major League Baseball, the two wild card teams play each other. One game. That would be like the NFL getting together and having their wild cards, you know, having an even number of wild cards, and having them play each other for a quarter, you know, as opposed to, you know, a four-quarter game. And but the NFL's tough. And the reason it's tough is because there are a lot of people out there who pay very close attention to detail. I've been reading, you know, handicapping lines and scores and evaluating the NFL since I was in my early 20s. And I'm 60 now. And the only thing that changes with me, and the one thing I've found is I can have every trend memorized. But every year everything is different. Certain things are the same. Coaches tend to, by the way, I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm going over some of my concepts and ideas about handicapping. But it's not rocket science. It's, you have to have a good memory. You have to be able to read. You have to be able to watch film, which I do every day. The greatest thing about professional sports for men like me that enjoy watching it, because I can't participate in it anymore. I'm a little too old for that. But watching it is almost as good. And evaluating it is almost as good. And you know what it's about with guys like me? Being right. You know, we enjoy being right. When we're wrong, we're not that happy. And speaking of that, if you go to NHBOWL.com, you can check on the National Handicappers Bowl. I've been on and off the hot list all year, but I'm not having a great year yet, but I'm getting ready to. And the way I look at it, it's like this. I hope I'm not putting Matthew to sleep, because if I'm not talking about soccer, Matthew really doesn't care. I shouldn't say that. He really does love football. Matter of fact, his grandfather, Matt, was a professional football player, played with the Baltimore Colts, right? Many, many years ago, and was phenomenal. And let me tell you, if you ever have anybody in your family that plays professional baseball or professional football or even professional soccer, it's exciting because, you know, you're a little closer to it than you would normally be. But I got to tell you, evaluating this, like I'm looking at these lines this week, and I do my own lines every Sunday night, and I finish them up Tuesday morning. And if you go to BruceHallSports.com, when I can get Matt to, I'm pretty much brain dead with my webpage. But I'm getting to the point where I can call Matt. I can throw something on Matt. Matt will put a link on there, and I'll be able to send out links that will have my list of teams, 1 through 32. And the top teams, obviously, are scratch. They're the best teams, so they're not getting any points. That'll be one or two there, Arizona and Denver. And then at the bottom, there's teams like the Redskins, the Raiders, the Tampa Bay Bucks, you name it. Arizona, by the way, we're going to talk about Arizona. I got Jess Root on later. Recorded a really good segment with him, and he's going to be on talking about new contract for Carson Palmer and why these guys are winning, and they look like they're not that explosive. They look like they can't score enough points, but all they do is win every week, and they beat good teams. But being right, I haven't forgotten why I started this conversation. Being right is very important to guys like me, because I don't like being wrong. And when I'm wrong, this goes hand in hand with why the NFL is such a tough, tough sport to play in Vegas. Okay, because we got the numbers down pat. Now, who knows whose numbers are better? Some of the Vegas handicappers are mine. Well, so far this year, my lines have been better than theirs. Like, for example, if I start out with a line that is just way out of whack, I'll tell you one this week that was way out of whack. Arizona, my line was like minus 13 at home against, you know, a St. Louis team that can't score. Well, that's the way the line should be. You know what the line actually is today? 7. So what does that tell you? You got to take Arizona. Even if you don't know if they're going to cover, even if you think they're going to win by 3 or 4 or 6, take the value, because the value's there. And we're going to talk about some other games later on today too. We got our friend Russ Baxter on later on. Russ is phenomenal. ProFootballGuru.com. He's going to be on later today at 10:32. I'm going to do a quick segment with us. We're going to have a lot of fun. I've got Dan Miller from Fox 5. It might be Fox 2. I'm sorry, Dan. But anyway, it's the Fox station in Detroit. He is the Detroit Lion guy. He's also a Detroit Tiger guy, formerly from Washington, D.C. area, grew up around here. Dan is an old friend, and he's going to come on and do a segment with us about this great game up there today in Detroit. And I'm telling you, there, it's starting to get to that. We've got games today. We're going to talk I'm going to talk a little bit later on about the NCAA, about the games we saw yesterday, about the teams that played themselves out of the little 4-game tournament at the end of our NCAA football year, and the teams that have kept themselves in. If you watched that game last night between Alabama and LSU, and you had LSU and you loved, and you knew why you wanted LSU, and you saw everything that happened right until what? A kicker kicked a ball out of bounds with less than a minute left. Gave Alabama a chance. What did they do? They go down. They tie it up. They score in overtime. LSU back drops a ball out of the backfield on the first play from the 25-yard line. They throw 3 more passes. The game is over. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'm on the phone with one of my favorite people in the whole world, Dan Miller, Fox 2 in Detroit. Dan, how are you doing, partner?
I am good. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing great. I was up too late last night. That Alabama-LSU game broke my heart, and I literally went to bed, and I couldn't go to sleep. And that doesn't happen very often at 1 a.m. with me.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's one of those moments where your little mistakes become big mistakes, and that kicker kicking that ball out of bounds gave an extra 15, 20 yards, and that hurt.
You know, it seems to me that I didn't see anybody really have a very good return the entire night, and he was kicking it fairly deep all night long. Now, I just don't understand why you'd even think about kicking it low. Plus, he kicked it so hard it would have gotten to the end zone anyway. But anyway, that's over with. Let's talk about this phenomenal game. You're going to get to see every snap of the ball in later today at Ford Field. I guess it's probably at 1 p.m. That's Eastern time. Are you guys in Central, or are you still you're Central?
We stay in Eastern. We're in Eastern.
Thank God for that. That gives you that extra hour to sleep. And we all picked up an extra hour a couple weeks ago. Listen, the Dolphins, all of a sudden, I was on them last week, and I don't think it wasn't you, but I had somebody on last week that totally disagreed with me about Miami. But Miami is playing some ball, and they came out last week. Now, you know, Philbin's father died. He's had a rough time in his family the last several years, lost his son, and back when he left for Miami, basically, at the end of that season. But The Dolphins are playing some good football. They've got a really good defense. They lost their starting running back, though, and you guys get back some fantasy football guys and some great players this week. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they'll get Calvin Johnson back this week. They'll get Reggie Bush back this week. They'll get their right tackle back this week. They should get a tight end or two back this week, because back in that Falcon game, when they last played 2 weeks ago, they were without Calvin Johnson, no Reggie Bush. They didn't have their right tackle. They didn't have their top three tight ends. So they come out of the bye. They're a much healthier team right now.
They've won five out of their last six games. And, I mean, it's not like they haven't beaten anybody. They beat the Saints.
No, and the game they lost, they should have won. There's a couple ways you can look at it, Bruce. The game they lost, they should have won. They should have beaten the Bills right here. They missed three field goals that day, blew all kinds of opportunities, should have won that game. Now, saying that, they've had two miraculous victories the last 2 weeks in beating the Saints and beating the Falcons. So these things tend to even out. And, you know, the most important thing is you're 6-2, you're beginning the second half of the season, and they've got to find a way to start, you know, playing their best football. They've been very good defensively. They haven't been that good offensively, and their special teams have been very spotty for the first half of the season, better towards the last couple of games. But, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement on this team, and they're going to need it because their schedule's tough down the stretch.
Well, now, Matthew Stafford, when you're without Calvin Johnson for a few weeks, you know, obviously Golden Tate stepped right in there, and that was a big loss, in my opinion, for Seattle when he signed with Detroit. He came through like gangbusters, didn't he? He did a good job.
He has been everything they could have hoped for and more, and there were – you know, there are a lot of astute people, and I give them credit, who saw that free agent signing and said, you know what, this might be one of those under-the-radar type of signings, because he was in an offense in which they didn't throw a lot in Seattle, coming into an offense in which they do throw a lot in Detroit. And I think you've been able to see his talents come through. It's exciting to think about him and Calvin being together out there now, full strength for the first time in probably 6-7 weeks. So he has been really, I think if you took MVP votes for the league right now, he'd have to be in the top 10. He's been that good and that important to this team.
You know, we're talking to Dan Miller with Fox 2 in Detroit, basically the voice of sports in Detroit, in my opinion. And Dan, you know, I can't tell you enough how much we appreciate you coming on, because on Sunday – you don't have a second really to yourself. I mean, you're going to be busy now. You'll probably do a post game show too, don't you? You still do the post game show across the street, or do you do it in studio?
We do our pregame show from 11 to noon, and then from noon to 1 we have radio. 1 o'clock we hit the air with the play by play, and then off to the TV station to do post-game stuff and get ready for our show tonight. So, yeah, it's Sundays are busy, but look, in the real world, this is great, and I hope I never have to get a real job.
Now, listen, you know, we're still talking about this Dolphins-Lions game. It's going to be at Ford Field today at 1 o'clock. This has incredible implications because the Dolphins are obviously you have to make plans to have to beat these guys if you're the New England Patriots this year. The Patriots are they're strong, they're coming through, but they, you know, I can't at this point say their defense is as good as the Dolphins. The Lions may have the only defense out there that's similar to the Dolphins, if not better. Are we going to get back to the old days when defense rules again, do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that just because the rules favor the offensive players so much. I think still defense can make up for other flaws that you may have on your team elsewhere. And, you know, a strong front can make up for flaws that you might have in the back half of your defense. So I think that, you know, it's always going to be important, and I think that you need to find some semblance of balance. But I still think in this day and age that if you have an elite quarterback, that's really where you want to start. Defense is great, and I think it travels. You can take it with you on the road, take it with you in cold weather, take it with you for indoor games. But I still think you have to have a guy back there behind the center the next play, and I still think that's where this week starts.
Dan, I don't want to put you on the spot, but, you know, you got a new coach. Jim Caldwell, highly respected offensive guy, was with the Indianapolis Colts for a long time. I guess he was with the Ravens a year or two, correct, before he took the head job in Detroit.
Yep.
What is the feeling right now? Now, I know this can always change, but does everybody seem real happy with Jim and what he's brought to the table in Detroit?
Well, they're 6-2. They haven't been making the... I'll use this word, dumb mistakes at the end of games, be them mental mistakes, physical mistakes, turnovers, penalties that have cost them in the past. So I think around here, people are looking at Jim Caldwell and saying, you know what, this guy has done something. But there's also a faction, and it's a rather large one because it's a Lions fan base that's been burned a lot before. This is okay, 6-2, what's the second half hold? Because we've seen some second half slides. And I think that he's done a lot of things right. And he's been really good. And I think one of the key things is we've seen players under him as a head coach and under his coaching staff improve. And I think at the end of the day, that's one of the most important things you have to do in this league. You have to take players, develop them, and make them better. And that's happened under this staff.
Well, I tell you what, it's always good to see because when I was up there in 2012 for the World Series, I was lucky enough to be able to sneak in for a couple of quarters and watch the game. You guys fill that stadium up pretty much regularly, don't you?
It's a great fan base. You know, they're just waiting for something they can sink their teeth into. It's a fan base that's been kicking the rear end a lot with a lot of disappointment, but they love their football. And they obviously, they sell the tickets, they show up, and they're going to be here today in full force, hoping they can see this team win game number 7.
Well, hopefully Matthew Stafford will have one of his sharpest games. I mean, he hasn't really been the Matthew Stafford we've seen in the past, but then he hadn't had all the tools out there with him either. Let me ask you a question. I'm not even sure, when the trade, you shouldn't even ask this, like being a lawyer and asking a question you don't know the answer for, but I'm going to do it since, you know me. the trade deadline, I guess, is coming up sooner. We just passed it. But in the NFL, if you could do anything with this Lions group, where would you add some talent?
Oh, with this team right now, I think if you could add another right now, this team, good question. If you could get another corner in here, I think I'd do that. They don't have much depth there. They got two guys playing at a pretty high level right now, but I think I would look probably for somebody that can help out in that secondary. If you were asking me down the line, defensive tackle is going to be a question because Sue and Fairley are both free agents at the end of the year. But right now, I would take a corner.
Now, Fairley's out for a while. Is he out for the year or just out for
– Nah, not yet. As of now, it looks like about 4 weeks.
Now, he showed up fairly big this year, and from what I understand, he wasn't in the greatest of shape when he got to camp. Then he started playing real well. Then he got injured. You lost a guy to free agency, a guy that was pretty much a perennial All Pro. The safety, he's going to be playing against you today, Louis Delmas, right?
Louis was not available. You know, he's been good for Miami. Hopefully his body will hold up. I like the kid a lot. He's a good man. But he couldn't stay healthy here. He was only practicing one day a week last year. That didn't translate well on Sundays.
No, I hear you. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know you, Dan, you look around, you see, is there another game that you're watching closely today besides this big game for you?
Well, I mean, from our perspective tonight, if Chicago could wake up and beat Green Bay, that would be great for the Lions. So, I mean, I'll definitely be keeping an eye on that one. That's one that has great implications for Detroit. So, you know, the Lions would love to win a division title. They'll probably need some help to do that. Green Bay's schedule in the second half is really tough. So, hopefully a desperate Bear team can help them out in that regard.
Listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on, Dan. I know you're busy and you got to get back to doing some stuff. It's Dan Miller from Fox 2 in Detroit. Dan is virtually the voice of the Detroit Lions. Dan, thanks for coming on. I'm looking forward to talking to you down the road.
Appreciate it. Talk to you, Bruce.
All right, buddy. That's Dan Miller. Let me tell you something. When he left Washington, it was a sad day for sportscasters here because he was one of the best, but he took a big job up there in Detroit, and he's done a phenomenal job up there. And I got to tell you, you know, when you go to Detroit, you're always looking for something to do. I mean, because there's really not that much to do. One of the things you do in Detroit is you go find Dan. And he's a phenomenal sportscaster. He's a phenomenal guy. And this Lions team is going to have to be dealt with. There's no question about it. Listen, we'll be back in a minute with more Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk Sports Talk, 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
It's going to be a big day in the NFL today. And, you know, there's one thing we're not talking about until later in the program. I may have my buddy Mike Wallace call in, and we're going to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball and the free agency market and what's going on. Trying to think if I've even been – yeah, you know what? Come to think of it, I have been on the air since San Francisco won. You know what? Baseball and football all run into each other. I'm going to talk a little bit about the NCAA football games from yesterday. There were several teams that didn't play yesterday. One of the teams I couldn't find was Fordham. And I think Fordham was off this weekend because they didn't play a game this weekend. But I want to say they're 8-2 and they're doing great. A local team up near Westchester County. For all I know, they're in Westchester County. I think they're in New York City, though. But Fordham University is, of course, where Vince Lombardi went to school. And they play in the same baseball league as, like, the University of Richmond and I think GW University in Washington, D.C. Pretty sure they're in the Atlantic 10. And if they're not, I apologize. But I can't wait to get up there. I'm going to be coming to New York. We got Russell Baxter on the line right now. Russ, how you doing, partner?
I'm good, Bruce. What's up?
Not much, buddy. Listen, thanks for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. I've been reading nothing but Russell Baxter stuff on Twitter for 2 days. And, I mean, you know, hope you don't mind me retweeting some of your stuff, but it's stuff that I'm thinking about.
Actually, I mind that you retweet some of my stuff. I think you should be retweeting all of my stuff.
Well, I can do that, too. You know, it's what I tell my followers. If you follow me, you're going to get my best stuff, but you're going to get all the best guys' best stuff, too. And listen, that's all we ask for, right, Russ?
That's right.
We want the truth, and we want the correct truth. And let me just say this: big day in NFL football today. I just had Dan Miller on talking about Detroit You know, in their game that they're playing today, but there's a lot of other good games today. Chicago's playing. What are the games that stand out to you and why?
Well, Detroit-Miami does stand out to me because – and Kansas City-Buffalo, and both of them for similar reasons.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a defensive clash
right.
in both instances. Detroit is first overall in total defense. Miami is third. Kansas City is fifth overall in defense. Buffalo is eighth. So you got four of the top eight defenses going head-to-head. And dare I say, all those teams playing pretty well right now, Bruce. Kansas City's kind of gained it. They were 0-2, and now they're 5-0. So they're 5-1 in their last six games, with only, I think, a loss to the Niners in San Francisco on the record. They're getting the – hey, I was writing earlier this week. If you're Alex Smith and you're Kyle Orton, are you really coming out of the locker room today?
You know, I got to tell you.
And I say for this reason, Buffalo has 28 sacks. Kansas City has 27. That's 55. If you really do the math, 55 sacks and those two guys, both could be 86th.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. That Chiefs-Bills game is so tight. I mean, Kansas City's been playing great. You know, when they knocked off New England earlier in the season, everybody kind of blew that off as, well, New England isn't that good. Well, guess what we found out? New England ain't bad. And it might be that the Chiefs are pretty damn good, and they are. The Bills have been doing it.
Yeah. Bruce, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Do you know what's really funny?
What's that?
For years and years, we have begged and pleaded to get a college playoff system, correct?
Correct.
And now we have one.
Yeah.
So why is it that we insist on covering the NFL anymore like it's college? I mean, I do a top 10 called Besties. We have power rankings all over the country. I mean, we settled this in the postseason, and we seem to want to go week to week with a lot of teams and kiss them off. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, Denver got smoked last week. Are they no good now?
Nah, they're still pretty good.
Exactly. So, I mean, it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Overreact on based on one game.
Absolutely.
You want to overreact to one game? Overreact to the Super Bowl. Then you know you can talk about it for months.
And you know what? That is exactly the game you should overreact to. The only thing that's good about the rankings, as far as I'm concerned, I have to do them because I line everybody up from scratch to as many as 16 or 17 points.
Don't want you to misunderstand. I have no problem with the rankings.
Oh, yeah. I know.
It's at all. Okay? It's a fun exercise to do. But in essence, what I'm saying is we have a tendency to take one loss
right.
and make it seem like a team's been eliminated in the playoffs and they're no good anymore.
Well, let me.
And we did that with New England because they got off to a slow start. We did that. There's a couple teams we did it to. Kansas City was 0-2. The Colts were 0-2. You know, so it's the NFL gets settled on the field. I guess that's my point. And you should never overreact to a win, and you should never overreact to a loss. I mean, that's. You know, it's a week-by-week thing. I mean, the only way you should be concerned about the loss if you plan on going undefeated.
Absolutely.
So I've said many times, if you want to go undefeated, you have to win every game, correct?
Absolutely. And then you got a bunch of old men having a party and rooting against you.
Right, but do you have to go undefeated to win a Super Bowl?
No. Absolutely not.
There you go.
As a matter of fact, what you've seen in the past and recently is, you know, when a team's up two or three games, they will generally seem to, quote unquote, take a week off from time to time just so they don't do it.
You're right. That's where coaching and the mental aspect of this game comes in. I mean, you know, we refer to them as trap games.
Yep.
And you know, you've got to play every week. I don't care if you're playing 0-8 or 1-8 or 1-8. I mean, you think about Denver, Pittsburgh, and Dallas today. Dallas is playing a 1-8 team. Pittsburgh's playing a 1-8 team. Denver's playing an 0-8 team. They should theoretically all win. Would you be shocked at any one or two lost?
No.
Not at all.
Not in the NFL. Let me ask you this, Russ. I want your opinion on this game because we both watched it, I'm sure. Now, it's a Thursday night game, and there are negatives about playing Thursday night for both teams. But the Browns go in to Cincinnati, and they get squashed by the Bengals do by the Browns. Are the Bengals – to me, what it looks like is the Bengals are going nowhere and the Browns are.
Well, I think the Browns are headed in the right direction finally, and winning a road divisional game was huge for them because it takes the sting out of losing a home divisional game to the Baltimore Ravens. They'll play the Ravens at the end of the year. They have one more game with Cincinnati at Cleveland, and in a division where everybody's above 500, okay?
Right.
The breakers are going to be huge, absolutely huge. I mean, do you think it's inconceivable that everybody in the AFC North this year finishes with a winning record?
It's going to happen, probably. I looked at the schedules.
Even if the Bengals go 8-7-1 or the right. Steelers go 9-7 or something, it's very, very possible that could happen because they're all playing it pretty – they're all playing very similar style football, except you start looking at the defenses. And the run defenses, especially for Cincinnati, I don't know what's happened to them against the run. I want to say they've given up like 130 yards plus
right.
the last seven games, something to that effect. Okay? This team was fifth in the league against the run. And I know Andy Dalton was putrid the other night, okay? P-U-trid. But it also had a lot to do with the fact that, you know, he's not getting any support on the other side. I mean, I didn't hear anybody complain about Andy Dalton, and trust me, he was horrible the other night. I'm not condoning his performance.
Right.
What about 37-37 against Carolina when they couldn't stop a team from running the ball?
Oh, I know. You know? I know.
Yes. A lot to go around here. Even Jacksonville, when they scored 23 points, ran the ball on them. So if that's your deficiency, running the football,
right.
You're in for it. Why do you think Carolina's struggling the way they are? They're giving up a lot of yards on the ground, which makes their pass defense ineffective.
Right. They just don't get any pressure on the quarterback. The biggest problem that I'm seeing with Cincinnati is when Vontaze Burfict went down, they stopped tackling people, you know, 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. I mean, he was their best tackler. He was obviously, you know, what made them work on defense. And they've also got a couple other guys banged up. I mean, go ahead.
Tell you, Leon Hall is hurt again. Remember, right. He missed big chunk of last season. But I'll tell you a loss that has hurt them in a different way than probably they expected. You know, a couple years ago, Michael Johnson had 11 and a half sacks.
Yep.
And you knew they were going to franchise him because how do you let 11 and a half sacks get away? Last season, his sack numbers were down, Bruce, but his overall performance as a defensive end was better. I mean, he proved that he was more than just a sack guy. And I think they're missing him at defensive end as well.
I think they absolutely are. I'll tell you another guy they let go that they probably wish they hadn't, and that's an old man that's playing in Pittsburgh, a linebacker, James Harrison. James Harrison had a great game last week. You know, this guy takes better care of his body than most of us will our entire lifetime every year.
You know, he passed me, I can tell you that.
I'll tell you what, he's amazing as far as I'm concerned. And now, you know, I find myself pulling for the Steelers now because
James Harrison plays with an anger that we have seen traditionally, at least from a couple linebackers in the Steelers. The Steelers have always had excellent linebackers. Their linebacker legacy goes for years and years and years. But they've always seemed to have one guy who was the tone setter, the chippy guy.
Right.
You know, be it Jack Lambert, be it Greg Lloyd. I mean, you couldn't get much more intense than Greg Lloyd. And then James Harrison has been that guy for a number of years. And, of course, they parted ways with him. He signed with Cincinnati. He was a starter most of the year last year. But the other night, I mean, you know, maybe I think he remembered he was playing the Baltimore Ravens, for lack of a better word. And, I mean, he turned it up a notch the other day. But they'll have trouble with the Jets today. I believe that. New York can run the ball, and Pittsburgh is down Polamalu and Ryan Shazier today.
Let me ask you this. The Titans are in Baltimore today, 20 minutes from where I sit right now. Are the Ravens going to finally take care of business, go to 6-4, and play a complete game on both sides of the ball, you think?
Well, listen, I mean, the other night, Sunday night, you almost didn't see that coming. And if you think about what's happened to them this year, they've lost, you know, remember we talked beginning of the year, they were going to play 5 of their first 9 games in the division. Well, they're done. We're 9 games in now, okay?
Yep. So
they've got one more divisional game, and it's against Cleveland, and it's the last game of the year. So now for a month and a half, they're going to be playing outside the division, which means They get New Orleans, I believe, down in New Orleans on a Monday night. So they've got some tricky business to take care of, but they've kind of already, they're going to be no better than 3-3 in the division because they're already 2-3. But you think about the teams they've lost to, twice to Cincinnati, once to Pittsburgh, once to Indianapolis. So Joe Flacco this year has gotten the support from the running game,
yep.
But he hasn't capitalized on it as much as I thought. I mean, he threw those 5 touchdown passes against Tampa Bay in 16 minutes and 3 seconds. But, I mean, last week, that looked like Joe Flacco from about 3 or 4 years ago with the Steelers in his face.
Yep. He hasn't looked real good. And, you know, he's got a new offensive coordinator in Gary Kubiak who has brought his offense in. And early on, everybody thought, wow, he's a perfect fit. Then all of a sudden he struggles. That's probably going to take Joe a while. He'll probably adjust fine. But let me ask you about another game before I let you go. The 49ers are in the Superdome. You know, it's a 1 o'clock game. Who would have ever thought that the San Francisco 49ers were going to be playing for their postseason lives in week 9 or 10? I mean,
I thought they would struggle early on. I did not think to this degree. And last week, they frankly handed a game away. I mean, let's face it. And listen, people can debate the calls and do this and do that. I don't know about you, Bruce. I frankly thought they got greedy when they got down to where they were. The way they were playing offensively, Kaepernick sacked 8 times. They really only had 1 good drive in the entire game. You know what? Get inside there. Don't muck around. Kick the field goal. Send the game into overtime and take your chances. And I think they got too cute, and they wind up losing the divisional game at home. And you're right. I mean, I thought they'd be, you know, maybe 5-2, 6-3, somewhere in that regard, okay? Because you can't – it's hard to not have Navarro Bowman. It's hard not to have Alden Smith. And sounds like Patrick Willis might be out again today.
Yep.
I will say this. They're pretty familiar with the Superdome. This will be the 4th time they play there in 3 years. Twice the lights stayed on and 1 they didn't.
Well, they've won – Sean Payton's won 20 in a row there. And I gotta think the Saints can afford a loss a lot more than the 49ers. I like the 49ers getting 5.5 points in that dome today because I think what they're going to do is just get as physical as humanly possible. They're going to go after Rob Ryan, and they need to run the football. Last week when they were second and goal on like the 3-yard line, they threw three passes in a row. Didn't that remind you of the Super Bowl they lost?
No, well, actually, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Tony Romo hurt in overtime against the Redskins. The same thing, you know? I'm telling you, I would have kicked the field goal. I really – once it got inside of 10 seconds, okay?
Right.
The way they were performing offensively, again, 8 sacks. You scored 10 points and gave up 8 sacks, not the kind of ratio you're looking for. Kick the field goal, you know? Maybe I'm ultra conservative. I just don't think I would have taken the chances, and especially with the play calling that they used.
Listen, that game didn't surprise anybody more than it surprised me and a bunch of Redskin fans. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody. And I got to tell you, you know, if Tony Romo plays today in London, they ought to have their heads examined because they have a bye week next week.
There were 2 quarterback decisions I didn't understand. And basically for similar reasons, not identical reasons. I didn't understand the Redskins trotting out RG3 last week when they had a bye week this week. Why not give him 2 more weeks, especially off of Colt McCoy in a short week? And I didn't understand putting a guy with 2 broken bones in his back on a plane to London, okay,
yep,
with a bye week coming up. Yep. Again, you know, I mean, so what if you lose to Jacksonville and you're 6-4? The season's not over.
Right.
Okay, you still have 2 games with the Eagles. You still have plenty of time. And people are like, well, you know, hey, they're running out of time. They only have 2 more home games left.
Listen.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, Russ, you know who else did that? The Dodgers
Bruce,
did. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, people were worried about their only playing 2 more home games.
Right.
Well, what? All 3 of their losses were at home this year.
Yep. Well, they don't have a home field advantage. They never have.
No.
They have a 60-yard-long TV that everybody watches. They don't even look at the field.
They haven't. Ed, I was there for the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. There, I mean, I didn't know Coney Island moved to Dallas.
It's exactly like that. Hey, Russ, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on and doing a segment with us. Will you tell everybody the best places to find you? Because nobody does it better than you do.
Bax Football Guru on Twitter. Pro Football Guru on Facebook. I have to tell you that over the last 3 or 4 days, we have gotten over 100 new likes on the Pro Football Guru Facebook page, and we're closing in on 3,000 likes on there. And I bring that up because if you like ProFootballGuru.com and you like Facebook, you get everything on Pro Football Guru on Facebook that you get on the website, and there's also a Twitter feed. So it's one-stop shopping. There's the website, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, Fansided, End Zone Score, Sports Post. You name it, they ask me, I write it, I love it.
Well, I love reading it, too. And, Russ, thank you so much for coming on the show. Russ Baxter, everybody. When it's the NFL, you need to talk to Russ. Thanks, Russ.
You got it, Bruce.
All right. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with Second Opinion in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Having Russ Baxter on just wakes me up. Every week I have Russ on, I mean, I'm ready. And he does the same thing when you follow him now on Twitter. He's always got some extremely, you know, calculated, intelligent tweets going on that basically make you think about what you need to be thinking about when you're handicapping football. And always interesting, just always a great guy. I'm going to take a peek at the games from yesterday in the NCAA. We're going to talk about that because people do like to hear about the NCAA. And I'm getting a little excited about it because I think I watched football. Let me tell you what I did yesterday. I called my son, texted him, went and picked him up at about 1:30, 2 o'clock. We were going to go shopping for his birthday because I got him a couple of things, but I didn't really buy him anything spectacular. So we were going to go buy some shoes or do something. Not that shoes are spectacular, but, I mean, for Davis, they are. So anyway, we end up going to 23rd Street to Crystal City Sports Pub. And, you know, Billy has owned that place for years and years and years. He went to Wakefield High School, same high school as I did, graduated in 1982. He's much younger than me. Great guy. Phenomenal guy. This place, if you've never been in the Crystal City restaurant and you're in Arlington, Virginia or Washington, D.C. or anywhere in Northern Virginia or suburban Maryland, you got to get in there on a Saturday afternoon sometime or on a Monday night. And literally go in there. There's three levels of, you feel like you're in a sports book on the third floor. I mean, there's the New York Stock Exchange, you know, stuff going across with the lines, the scores, there's TV. There must be 200 televisions in that place, and they're not little TVs. They're huge. They're for old men like me that can't see very well. But we had a great time. We ordered appetizers, me and my son, and we sat there and watched 2 hours of football, and that was a lot of fun. Thanks a lot for that, Davis. Mississippi State probably will stay number one in the college football playoff top 25. They played Tennessee Martin today. I don't know how much they had to pay Tennessee Martin to come to Starkville, but probably $500,000, something like that. And that's why teams like Tennessee Martin go to Starkville and play teams like Mississippi State. It looks like Mississippi State probably scored 3 or 4 touchdowns early, and then they put their second and third string in, and that's the way you should play those games. Florida State was actually behind in this game at one time, 13-7. They beat Virginia, and once again, and I'm pointing this out, there was some stuff on Twitter earlier this week. I fell for one of the the tweets about him, a point shaving scandal. It was released by TMZ, or at least I think it was. It was a TMZ deal, and I checked on everything, and it was them, I think. It was through one of the guys they knew, and evidently nothing happened, or at least they haven't gotten enough evidence to actually break the story. But it would, you know, people ask me, well, why would you think he'd do that? Are you kidding me? Why wouldn't I think he'd do that? I mean, what hasn't he done? Now, granted, I don't know what's going to happen with all this stuff. Jameis Winston, the quarterback at Florida State University, put in a request for the university to postpone his hearing. Well, no kidding. I mean, you know, he'd like to postpone it until he graduates, or at least his eligibility is up. But I don't know that they'll do that. They might. I mean, it's Florida State. They may just do whatever the hell they want and not care what the NCAA thinks, because the NCAA right now isn't really standing on solid ground, because everybody is trying to distance themselves from the NCAA right now. At least anybody with any money is. Auburn was number three going in. They get beat. Gus Malzahn, they turn the ball over twice. I mean, they should have won the game. They end up losing to a freshman quarterback in Texas A&M. 41-38. I mean, it was sad to watch if you're a War Eagle. You know, I mean, if you're a War Eagle, that game just broke your heart, and you were sick to your stomach. They're going to drop, obviously, out of the top four, probably down as low as maybe 6, 7, or 8. Oregon will stay in the top four. They're playing Utah late. They end up winning. Their quarterback. Still doing a pretty good job. A lot of people think he's going to be the number one draft choice. I think it depends on who gets the number one pick in the draft, depending on whether they'll take him or not. They probably will, especially if they need a quarterback. Let's face it, if you have the number one pick in the draft, you probably need a quarterback. Alabama beats LSU. I was on LSU. I released LSU. I felt phenomenal for every minute of the game until their kicker kicks it out of bounds with a 3-point lead and less than a minute left. I didn't think Alabama would even go down the field and kick a field goal. I really didn't. Their kicker isn't even all that good, but they got so far down the field because Auburn loosened up on defense. They played a little prevent. They kind of backed up a little bit and let everything be caught in front of them. They should have just played the way they played the whole game and just hit them in the mouth. And they didn't, and they lost. So LSU played themselves out of any chance they have of being in the Final Four in that group. Alabama's going to probably be 2 or 3. I would say Alabama's better than Florida State. If they played Florida State, they'd beat them. No question, because Florida State's defense couldn't stop their running game. You know, and their defense would – put a hurting on Jameis Winston one way or the other. TCU wins again. They beat Kansas State. I mean, a good Kansas State team. Number 7 Kansas State team. You know, they won 41-20. Aaron Green, a backup, ran for 171 yards. They moved into a 3-way tie atop the Big Ten. They play at Kansas next Saturday. That's like taking the day off. They can play their fourth string against Kansas and win by 20 points. Sorry, Brett Boce. I don't want me to be talking bad about your Kansas Jayhawks, but besides basketball and baseball, there's really nothing going on there. Kansas State, they'll be out of the top 10 now. Michigan State. I loved Michigan State yesterday, and they lose 49-37 to Ohio State. Ohio State has lost one game. They lost at home to Virginia Tech. Let me repeat that. They lost at home to Virginia Tech, like early in the season, might have even been the first game. A lot of people think that loss alone will keep them out of the top four. I will say this. A lot of things are going to have to happen. In Ohio State's favor to be in the Final Four with one loss because of that Virginia Tech loss. I just don't see any way. Arizona State tried to lose at the end of the game, but they ended up winning 55-31 over Notre Dame, who I have been, you know, I call it the Kelly curse. You know, anything bad that happens to Notre Dame and Kelly right now is fine with me. We'll be back with the second half of the show on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion in a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I've got Jess Root on the phone with the Arizona Cardinals. Jess isn't with the Cardinals, but he knows as much about them as anybody in the country. He's with SB Nation. He is the author of Revenge of the Birds and a good friend of mine. Jess, it's great to have you on, buddy.
Thanks for having me on again, Bruce.
You got it. Listen, I would be not doing my job with handicap and pro football and getting to my listeners who are, you know, avid, let's say, paying attention, whether it's fantasy football or any other reason for that matter. You've got the best record in the NFL. The Arizona Cardinals do. They're doing it the old-fashioned way. They're scoring just enough points to win. They're playing great defense, and they're not turning the ball over. What is the feeling out there right now? I know you're sold out for today's game probably. I think you sell out for almost all your games, correct?
Yes, ever since the stadium's opened. The new stadium's opened. They've sold out every game. I think there's number 90.
Yeah, we've talked about this. I got to get out there. I'm not getting any younger, and it's nice and warm out there. Tell me what the feeling is around town right now, and the confidence level's got to be high, isn't it?
It really is. It's like the expectations have suddenly taken a step up. Entering the season, there was a lot of unknown uncertainty as to how the Cardinals were doing. We understood that they would be competitive, but where they would be competitive. Would it be competitive last year where they're 10-6 and maybe second place, maybe third place, and hopefully enough to get in the playoffs? Now they have to be at where they sit in the NFC. You would have to feel at this point that if they don't end up with a first-round bye, that it would be a disappointment. And Bruce Arians has not been afraid to bring up the whole playing the Super Bowl in their own stadium. He's rallied the troops saying, are you going to let anyone dress in your state, in your locker room? If they line it up the way they think they can, they might not have to play anywhere else but University of Phoenix Stadium come the playoffs.
That would absolutely be a dream come true for any home team, since nobody's done that since the start of this. And especially a team, you know, like the Cardinals that at one time were actually in the NFC East, you know, when they were the St. Louis Cardinals. And even when they moved to Arizona, they were in the East for a few years. I don't think they went directly into the West. I think that was something that happened later on. But let's talk about Carson Palmer, your quarterback. This is a guy, went to USC, was an All-American, was a first-round draft choice. He might have even been the first pick in the draft, I guess, for the Cincinnati Bengals when they were playing horribly, several years ago. The guy, you know, he stays there, he gets injured, he's kind of injured off and on. He's always got pretty good numbers, but he turns the ball over quite a bit. Ends up with the Oakland Raiders. A variety of things happened from that point on, the least of which was something I thought was a little fishy with a former, you know, he's the offensive coordinator now in Cincinnati, but the former head coach of the Raiders, when he lost his job, he actually made it so he could end up somewhere else. Tell me about that. And with Palmer, tell me about his contract too. I know a little bit about it, but not like you do.
Well, the contract itself, the specifics haven't been, we don't know year to year what it looks like. We know it's a 3-year extension. So his original deal that he signed with the Cardinals was a 3-year, $24 million deal. So the deal technically didn't exist. They created a third-year deal, but then put verbiage in the contract where 5 days after this year's Super Bowl, the contract would void.
Right.
So it was going to be a free agent. So they took care of him. They extended him for three seasons, so for 2015, 2016, 2017, for a total of
$50 million is what's being reported. But there's no guarantees beyond 2015. There's $20.5 million in guarantees, which includes a signing bonus, whether a roster bonus, workout bonus, they might have it put in for next season. So $20.5 million. I'm suspecting that I would imagine that the signing bonus will be about $10 million, which would make his salary next season about $10.5 million. And it gives them about a $13 million hit on the cap next year. It adds to this year's cap, and it spreads out over the last couple of years. But it gives him flexibility, and they took care of him. They paid him. He can play for three more years if he wants, and he can play at a high level. But it doesn't keep the Cardinals from drafting their quarterback of the future if they find that guy.
You know, when you think about the Cardinals' history over the past few years, I mean, we've had some great quarterbacks there. I mean, I'm not going to include Jake Plummer in the great ones, but Jake Plummer was certainly a good quarterback. You know, he came from Denver where, you know, they didn't really offer him the kind of money he was looking for. He became a free agent. I can't remember if he was traded or if he's just signed as a free agent with the Cardinals. Jake did a pretty good job. Then he ends up, unlike most people, just basically deciding to retire. Kurt Warner, in my opinion, you know, who came from the Rams, was an incredibly talented guy. You know, I mean, here's a guy that started out in the Arena Football League. He goes out there, goes to a Super Bowl, right? And they they lose in a Super Bowl. But Kurt Warner holds records in the Super Bowl that may last forever. I mean, he was that good. Now they get Carson Palmer there, who's been in a couple of other locations. And, you know, they've got the perfect guy for him. They got Bruce Arians, who's older than I am, which is hard to believe. And he's having a good time on the sidelines. And he loves – I don't know if he's calling the plays or not, but you know he's involved with it. And they just – they seem to be so comfortable around each other that you really can't let this go. You know, I mean, it's just something you have to notice. When you guys do decide to draft a quarterback, it's going to be 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, isn't it? It's not going to be anytime soon.
Well, they could draft. I mean, they could draft a guy as early as this year if they find the guy. Let him sit behind Palmer for a year, which is what Palmer did when he came to the league. He was behind John Kitna.
That's right.
And I mean, so if they have flexibility, but it's going to be a guy, they're not going to just draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback. I mean, they drafted Logan Thomas this last draft, but he's viewed as a project, so he might turn into what they want. But if Steve Kimes finds the quarterback he wants, he'll draft him. And they're just married to Palmer at least one more season, which is about the smartest thing they could do, because they're here on the cusp. They actually have a championship window the way they're playing. You have to have your quarterback under contract. And ran into the Cardinals before, because Kurt Warner became a free agent after the Super Bowl, and it got a little bit dicey because they played negotiations. He actually visited San Francisco. They did it right. They took care of the quarterback. It's not just going to be no issues. And he locked up, which is what you want to see.
You know, the owning family of the Cardinals, the Bidwells, you know, for a long time, the old man got a lot of bad press. I got Matthew McConaughey coming in here next segment. But anyway, the amazing thing about what I see going on in Arizona is it seems like with the younger Bidwell, everything's a lot smoother. Am I wrong in perceiving this?
Well, the thing is with the older Bidwell, he didn't really – you got the impression it was just about saving money because it was his family business. Michael Bidwell learned with the playoff run that winning is more profitable, so he wants a winner. And so he's kind of opened things up. They do things for competition's purpose so they can be a better football team. So, yes. I mean, it's still the Bidwells. There's still some things about him that you'll wonder about. But at the end, Michael Bidwell wants to win above all else because he knows that will make the team more profitable.
Real quick, we got about a minute left. Who's going to win this ball game today, Jess? That's the real reason I got you on there, because if they were not going to win or you thought there was a problem, you'd let us know.
Oh, heavens, yes. Oh, heavens. this should not be an issue for the Cardinals. This is, I mean, they the way the Cardinals play, they are mentally tough. They're not going to overlook a very tough Rams team, and they know that division games are very, very important. What the only concern could be is, should that Rams pass rush be awakened like it was last week against San Francisco?
Right.
That could give them trouble. But the way the Cardinals are playing, this should be a blowout.
No, I hear you. Listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on and talking about them. They sure are turning some heads in the NFL, and they've definitely got my attention. Jess Root, Revenge of the Birds, at Senor Jess Root, right? SenorJessRoot on Twitter. And you gotta follow him on Twitter. He's an absolute must follow. Thank you, Jess, for coming on, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
You got it. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
It's always good to hear from a guy in Arizona. It does two things for me. It warms me up because I think about, you know, you get up in the wintertime there, in the morning, mm-hmm. 65 degrees. It's like 80, 85 in the afternoon. There's no humidity. And I didn't buy a place out there. I should have my head examined. And plus, not only is it a great baseball area, which I love, and there's spring training everywhere, but their NFL football team, the Arizona Cardinals, you heard Jess say 90 straight sellouts or something. That's unbelievable. I mean, that's
what... like there's a whole lot else to do out there, though.
Well, there's a lot of people there, too. And I got to tell you, well, no, they're big on sports, though. I mean, think about it. When you can play ball 12 months out of the year, I mean, if you don't mind going out when it's 115, 120 degrees in the afternoon.
August is pretty hairy.
Let me tell you what we do. We play night games, like starting at 9. They play their softball games. They never play softball games until 7, 8 o'clock in Arizona. You know, they're adult softball leagues. And it's fun to see because there's lights everywhere. I mean, every single school has football fields, baseball fields, softball fields. They do it right out there. And it's a good place for old people, too. We like it warm. I mean, I'm including myself in that group, so let me hit from the yellow tees. We're going to talk NFL football now. I'm going to do the matchups for today's game. We're going to go through these. I will give you my National Handicappers Bowl picks, and you can write them down. So get a pen, not that you want to. But I guarantee I know a little bit about more about it than you do. If you know more about it than I do, give us a call. 240-317-7294. I want to, if you have a question, whether it's, you call me with fantasy football questions if you want. My son does it nonstop all day long. And to be honest with you, I mean, I know why he does it. Because I know who the hell to start, you know, depending on who they're playing against. Let's do the first game, man. I want to hear that. I love it when he does that. All right, I'm going to predict this. Cleveland is going to destroy Cincinnati. Oh, wait. They've already played that game.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
We got Dallas -10 over Jacksonville.
And that's in Wembley. Yeah, that's in Wembley Stadium, and basically it's an away game for both teams. If you were going to play this game...
Why wasn't this a 9 a.m. game?
Well, because they missed opportunity. Can I tell you what? I think it's a missed opportunity. Here's the problem. Believe me, they've weighed where they make their money, and they're making their money in that 1 o'clock slot here. So that's basically a 6 o'clock game over there, 6 p.m., which works out great over there because everybody can go to church. People in London go to church. Hell, there's so many Muslims over there, which is a good thing, I guess. And as long as you're not a policeman or an army sergeant and you get your head cut off by one of them. But those are jihadists doing that. But here's the thing. It works out for everybody, and we are going to have a football team in London, it looks like. It could end up being the Jacksonville Jaguars. It might be its own team. Which would even be better. Now, where will they play?
The London Monarchs.
They'll have to be in the East, won't they? They'll redo the Far East. That's the Far East division. course, Thailand or Vietnam would be even better, but I don't know that they'd want to play football over there. But let me just say this. Jacksonville is improving every week. Right now, the money line is even. It's 51-49. 76% of the money, and this has gone down in the last 12 hours from 83%. More people are picking up Jacksonville plus 7. And I think what's going to happen, honestly, is that Jerry Jones will wake up this morning, and he's probably already woken up over there. He's going to.
Well, you never know with Jerry.
He could have just gone to bed or not gone to bed. But I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to go there. Because, you know, this show goes out of Westchester, and, you know, the NFL does listen to this show. So, but anyway, I would leave this alone, because this could easily be, if Brandon Whedon starts this game and he struggles, this can be a close game. Jacksonville's going to be able to run the football against Dallas. Dallas can run the football against just about anybody, evidently except Arizona Cardinals last week. I'd leave this game alone. Let's go to the next game, Matt.
All right. We have Miami. Detroit minus 3 over Miami. I think we already talked about
this
game.
Yeah, it's actually now 2.5. If you look to the right of the open, that's where it opened at minus 3.
I'm messing up.
Minus 2.5.
This is why we have Roy here.
The total is 44. Now, just current is what we're looking at right now. The line hasn't really moved all week. You know, when you can get the Detroit Lions at home against a team that plays in 80 to 90 degree weather. Now, here's the bad news. Bad news is they're playing in a dome, so it's 72 degrees in the dome. So that's not uncomfortable for the Dolphins. I would say this, 73% of the money is on Detroit. Miami last week was my homie play. No, don't you?
Great cash, homie.
That was last week, not now. And we hit it. They won 37-0 over San Diego. And by the way, Roy took San Diego. That's probably why.
That's why he's not here today.
We were on opposite sides of several games last week. I would say take Detroit for 4 stars. 4 stars is a medium to high play. I love Detroit here. Minus 2.5. Are you kidding me? That's almost a trap game. But I'm leaving it alone. On the money line, it's Detroit. But you're not gonna tell me that getting Megatron, Calvin Johnson, and Reggie Bush back, and a couple of defensive guys and special teams guys that they have healthy this week is not going to help Detroit at home. If you could have told me Detroit was minus 7 here, and I would have believed it. Take Detroit. It's a value. Let's go to the next game.
We have Buffalo minus 1 over Kansas City.
It's actually a pick now. Kansas City, what are you looking at? You're not looking at
Vegas Insider.
Yeah, but you're not looking at mine. I don't know. Maybe mine's not updated, but I think it is.
Currently,
I've got Kansas City as a pick. It's a pick game anyway when it's less than 2, because basically you're going to have to win the game to win the bet. Buffalo's got Kyle Orton. You know Kyle Orton? Matthew has the highest quarterback rating in the NFL in the fourth quarter. Kyle Orton, this is a guy you could have got for $2 million a year. Well, actually, that's not true. He was playing for the Cowboys. He was their backup at $5 million a year. He got one more year last year, then he retired. Then he basically, quote-unquote, retired. So he left the Cowboys. They released him. And then he signed with Buffalo.
I think he did a year of just bar hopping.
No, I think he's a bartender, but it's one of the others. But look, you got to like Kyle Orton. He went to Purdue. You know who else went to Purdue? Drew Brees. I mean, a lot of good quarterback. Bob Greasy went to Purdue. How would you know that, Bruce Hall? Because I'm 60 years old. Don't mess with me. I'm not taking either of these teams. I love Kansas City. I love Buffalo. I think both of these teams may go to the playoffs, although I will say this, Buffalo probably won't this year. Buffalo could be 10-6 this year and not go to the playoffs, because in the AFC, you're going to have to win 11 games to go to the playoffs, possibly. Let's leave that game alone.
All right, we have New Orleans minus 5 over 5.5 over San Francisco.
Yeah, I got them at 6 now.
I just refreshed. So.
Yeah, well, you know what? 5.5, 6, right. 49.5 is the total currently. Everybody in the country's on New Orleans. They've won 20 games in a row. But you know what? The spread is only 59-41. What does that tell you? tells you a lot of people are taking San Francisco plus 5.5, plus 6. Why? It's a value, that's why. New Orleans, about three games ago, I mean, they couldn't beat anybody. But New Orleans has started playing some ball. They've won like three out of their last four. You know, they're a decent team. Rob Ryan is finally getting to their defense a little bit. They do have their best defensive players out for the year. You know what I like here? Jim Harbaugh hates to lose. Now, he did everything he could to lose last week, and they did, by his play calling. It was horrible. But it wasn't just him. You know, it's everybody. Plus, he's got a lot of guys out on defense. I think that New Orleans could win this game, but I think it's going to be a field goal game. I really do. I think whoever wins this game wins on a field goal with less than 2 minutes left in the game. Give me San Francisco for 3 stars plus 6. I'm taking that. The spread money is 59-41 New Orleans, which isn't a big deal. Guess what? The money line is 68-32 San Francisco. That's as evenly played as you can get. Take San Francisco. They're going to get real physical and look for Frank Gore to get the ball 20 to 25 times. Next game.
We have Baltimore minus 10 over Tennessee.
It's your wife's game. Your wife loves the Ravens.
We'll be watching it at the Maryland Irish.
You know,
Festival.
I thought about getting tickets. They were really expensive. On StubHub last night, to sit where I wanted to sit, it was like $200. I'm not paying $200 to see Tennessee. I'd pay $100 to watch Baltimore practice. You know, we'll get through this one. I got the Ravens is, you know what? Go ahead and play it. Go ahead.
What? Oh, really?
No, that's not it. But I wanted to hear that anyway. It's my number two game. I haven't gotten to my game yet. Everybody will know when I get to my game. They're minus 10. They've been 10 all week. Tennessee's pretty bad. The Ravens at home generally are pretty good. They're a 71-29 spread leader here with money. And the money line is even in their favor. So that means ton of cash on the Baltimore Ravens, which you got to watch back door with Tennessee in that. But I'm still taking a minus 10. This could be a 20-point game. Next game. This will be the last one before we take a break, right, Matthew?
Yes, it is. We have Pittsburgh minus 4 over the Jets.
All right, go ahead. Now you
That's
can
your,
hit.
That.
Absolutely.
Great cash, homie.
You can't not play Randy. I got. There was a big news about Randy Moss. He said the only team he would play for is like. I'm trying to think, who he say play for? Oh, Indianapolis, or it was either Indianapolis or Denver or something. Anyway, when you're 40 and you smoke dope every day, you know you can say what you want.
Weed every day.
Yeah, all he's got to do. I mean, in probably 12 years, it'll probably be legal in every state in the country.
Hell yeah!
Which is well, shut up, man. Anyway, Pittsburgh minus 4 on the road playing the Jets in a stadium that I think we can all say there's no home field advantage in New Jersey. There isn't. Not even for the Giants now. Pittsburgh is going to win this game. Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, has thrown 12 touchdown passes in the last two games. It's an NFL record. He goes against the worst defensive secondary in the league in the Jets. They've given up, are you ready for this, 24 touchdowns and only have one pick. He's going to throw for 6 touchdowns today. How can I not take him minus 4? Take the Steelers. There'll be more Steeler fans there waving terrible towels than there are Jet fans. We'll be back in a minute with more on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So Bill Belichick tried to call out the Weather Channel this week,
BB.
And it did not go well.
No, he tried to be funny. I saw that.
Yeah, that's one thing Bill Belichick should never try to do. He's not a stand-up comedian. He's a good coach, not a stand-up comedian.
You know, everybody laughs because they're just so happy to see him say anything. And especially if he's trying to be happy. You know how beat writers are. They kiss a little butt.
Let's
trying
rock.
To get. Yeah, but I got to tell you, Bill Belichick is about as funny as the AIDS virus. I mean, he's not funny. I mean, he's not the guy that you go out to show up somewhere because he's just going to be a breath of fresh air. He's
going to win. You know what he's going to do? What Madonna is to comedy.
He can win in the NFL. He can coach defense, and he knows how to cheat and get away with it. Or he knows how to pay for it. He paid $1 million to cheat and got away with three Lombardi trophies.
Right,
and so, if you're a Pats fan and you don't like what I'm saying, give me a call, 240-317-7294. I got my book right here, Spygate, The Untold Story. Read it. It's documented. It's true. And by the way, I talk to guys like Chris Mortensen via Twitter, all of the guys, Jay Glazer, and I always let them know, I always say to them, when are you writing the book? I want to read the real book on Spygate. Never hear anything back from them. You know why? Because it's true.
All right, so we talked about the weather.
Yeah.
How's the weather?
Well, let me tell you what the weather looks like. If you're playing the Baltimore Ravens or the Titans today, virtually no wind, 3 to 8 miles an hour, it's 52 degrees, humidity's not a factor. Kansas City's in Buffalo, mostly cloudy, and as you'd think, southwest wind, which is a little, it warms it up compared to the 42 degrees it's at, 67% humidity. You might get a few like lake effect snow showers there, but not big. Miami and Detroit are indoors. Dallas is in Jacksonville, but they're in England. Southwest wind, it's just like that, 49 degrees. You might, if you were in Buffalo or if you're in London, it's the same. Right,
there's
now
a chance of nannies coming down with umbrellas.
Yeah, chance of bobbies. Bobbies showing up, you know, directing traffic. Pittsburgh Steelers play the Jets. Virtually no wind for that stadium. 5 to 10 miles an hour, 52 degrees, just like it is here. Atlanta Falcons play in Tampa. In Tampa, it's not that warm. It's 68 degrees. Mostly cloudy. There's a 30% chance of light showers early. If anybody's playing anything in Tampa and in Atlanta today, in that game, it's the over. And it's not a lot. I want to say it's 48 points. Detroit Broncos. The Denver Broncos are playing the Raiders. It's mostly sunny, no wind virtually at all, 5 to 10 miles an hour in Oakland. Beautiful day, 65 degrees. In Arizona, as you'd expect, it's 83 degrees outside, so they're going to close the roof. Because it's, well, you know what? They're going to leave the roof open, it looks like. Southeast wind, 2 to 7 miles an hour, virtually nothing. 17% humidity. That's ridiculous. New York Giants, Seattle Seahawks, it's 70% chance of rain. It's probably going to rain most of the game. South wind at 9 to 14 miles an hour, 52 degrees, 80% humidity. Chicago Bears are at the Packers. I would have said it was going to snow here 2 days ago, but evidently it all moved out of there already. 33 degrees, 75% humidity, maybe a flurry or two, mostly cloudy. Chicago and Green Bay playing that stuff all the time. Carolina Panthers Monday night are playing Philadelphia in Philly. 50 degrees, 50% humidity, no wind, 4 to 9 miles an hour. So I love the over in that game tomorrow night, because if Carolina is going to have any shot at all, Cam Newton better get off his butt. If you have Cam Newton for a quarterback in your fantasy league, my condolences. He sucks. He threw so many balls off his back foot and not set last week. He had no chance. He underthrew 7 receivers last week. He was terrible. They're just not very good. And I think Ron Rivera's out of there. I really do. I think he's gone. Jerry Richardson can't put up with any more of that crap. A lot of people thought he was going to be gone a couple of years ago. Then they came back with a good year last year. Well, let's do this. Let's go back to where we were.
We were talking about you were taking the Jets over Pittsburgh.
You know, I need to spend some time on the Jets.
Pittsburgh over the Jets.
Yeah, if you notice, the Jets aren't doing so well. You know, they beat Oakland first game. Well, they haven't won a game, so they're not that good. And then they lose 8 in a row. They're 1-8. Okay, Rex, see ya, but not this year. Their problem, in my opinion, isn't just Rex Ryan. It's Idzik. John Idzik is horrible. I mean, you know, and he's probably not a horrible guy. He's probably a great guy, but he's a numbers guy. He's kind of like Bruce Allen in Washington, but he doesn't know anything about evaluating talent. You have to build your scouting base. You have to build your talent base. You have to hire the right guys. You have to draft the right guys. You have to sign the right guys. You can't sign morons. You can't sign troublemakers. The Jets seem to do that all the time. I mean, is it just me? If it's not me, call me and tell me how good the Jets are. 240-317-7294.
I'm sure we're going to.
Our number here is 248. Do we have a caller? Don't
no,
we?
I'm saying I'm sure we'll get a lot of calls on the, on that one.
Come on, I mean, come on. I mean, this is your team. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
That's just
how
like
about
asking.
How about the San Francisco Giants? Yes.
But that's like asking Redskins fans, can you call in and say how much you love your owner?
Yeah, Dan Snyder. God, he's so bad. Jerry's giving him a run this year, though.
He's trying.
Jerry Jones is giving him a run.
I don't think he likes not having the
I would love to see Dallas. I'm not on that game because I just there's too many question marks on the game in London today. You know, I'm gonna have Red Zone on, so they'll throw it on every once in a while. And the good news is there's no Redskin game on, so I don't have like 3.5 hours of comedy today. I have to kind of look for my entertainment. But I got to tell you, you know, well, let's go to the next game. The Jets not only are going to lose this game, there will be 20 to 30,000 Pittsburgh Steelers fans in there, and I say there'll be more Steelers fans than Jet fans today. No question. Who's going to go to this game? Who? A Jet fan? Why? You know what? The only reason you'd go to this game, if you're a Jets fan and you have anything else to do, is to see Ben Roethlisberger shatter his own record today and throw for 6 more touchdowns today. Go ahead, Matt. That's enough talking, Dan.
All right. So we have Atlanta -3 over Tampa. This is switched. It opened at -1 for Tampa.
Yeah. You know what? Atlanta now is a 3-point favorite. They're -3. The total's 47. A lot of that has to do with the fact that McCown is starting. You know, they took this kid from Westfield High School in Northern Virginia out, and say that McCown's going to start. And there's a 4-point move in Atlanta's favor. So even the bookmakers and the slash fans that you know bet on football in Vegas, they don't like McCown as much as they like the other kid. So why does the coach? You know why? Because, in my opinion, both of these teams have coaches that are going to be playing a lot of golf next year because they're not going to be coaching. Smith's gone in Atlanta. They got to win this game in Tampa. But Tampa has only won one game. They're 0-4 at home. And guess what? Atlanta's 0-4 on the road. Something's got to give. Somebody's going to win their first game on the road or at home today. It's not going to be me playing this game or releasing it. The spread, money, 74-26 Atlanta, I'm going to pass. And the only reason that they're doing this is because Atlanta is the only team that really has a chance to score any points. Next game.
We have Denver -12 over Oakland.
Yeah, they're 12.5 now. And believe it or not, I'm on Denver here because if they get 20 points out in front, even in the fourth quarter, Peyton will stay in because you don't want to give him a shot. But if they get 21 to 24 points out in front in the fourth quarter, he may come out and Osweiler goes in, which isn't really terrible because Osweiler's not horrible. But, you know, the only thing that can happen here is you get backdoored at 12.5. I'm taking Denver -12.5, coming off of a bad loss last week. When Peyton Manning loses, okay, the next week you don't want to be the guy he's facing.
He plays angry.
Yeah, well, he's really mad, I'm sure. And, you know, the total here, I don't see – Denver's got too good of a defense, so you really can't go over 50 points here. The best part of the Oakland Raiders is their defense. So just take Denver -12.5. I see this game being 34-10, something like that. Next game. Oh, and by the way, I'm playing Denver for 4 stars in the National Handicappers Bowl. Right. Yeah, I'm an idiot. Don't even go there right now, but I like the game. Right. Go ahead, Matt.
This is a game we've already talked about.
Well, we'll talk about it again because
we got Arizona -7 over St. Louis, the Super Bowl-bound Arizona Cardinals.
You know, I'm going to take them for 3 stars, and the reason I am is because when I did my original handicapping, I had them -13. Over St. Louis. That's with St. Louis being placed in the proper place in the order of where the teams were. You know, they are on the road. Arizona plays well at home. It's going to be a loud crowd there. They have a rookie quarterback for St. Louis. They have a great defensive line that's starting to play better. But Arizona right now is playing better football than anybody in the league. Take the Cardinals minus 7 against a team that's 3-5 and 2-2 away from home. 65-35 spread there against, you're betting against the spread in Arizona's favor. But the money line is St. Louis 70-30. So I feel good about Arizona. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm so excited.
And I just can't hide it.
And I just can't hide it. I know. I want to. All right.
Where did that
You know what I love? You know what I love about driving home? I really have a good time. When I leave the studio and go home, it's a 45-minute drive with no traffic. I listen. I turn on satellite radio. I listen to some of the guys that know what they're doing a little bit. I love to hear John Clayton at 12:30. You know, wherever John Clayton is, he'll let me know about three or four games where guys are out that they thought were in or guys are in that they thought were out, and that helps me a lot. If you get a chance, for all you people out there that love to play football, you know, whether you're, you know, in a pool or whatever, make sure that you wait until almost the last minute to make your plays, because so many things can happen. Between 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning and 12. Now, right now, I'm on VegasInsider.com, which is a great place to kind of look for the Vegas averages, pretty much. This is locked into several sports book sites. And right now, Matthew, I think we just talked about Arizona. I'm taking Arizona -7 for 4 stars because it's a value. Sometimes you got to look at a game and not talk yourself out of it. This was a value when I put my numbers together Monday night, Sunday night last week, Tuesday morning. It's still a value at -7. Take it. Just take it. All right. Next game. This is a good one.
Now we have Seattle -10 over the Giants.
Yeah, I got them at 9.5. It doesn't matter wherever they are. Listen, this Seattle team is not winning a Super Bowl. Everybody that said they were going back to the NFC Championship game, that's possible because there's several teams that won't be there. We thought might be there, like San Francisco. They're not going to be there either. The Giants
most
certainly
people
aren't going to be there.
Know that Percy Harvin would be out, and then
Percy Harvin made 11 catches for over 100 yards last week playing for the Jets. I guarantee you, this week he gets hurt. And then somebody is going to hurt him, because Percy Harvin never goes 2 or 3 games without getting hurt. He doesn't. And he makes a ton of money wherever he goes because he's Percy Harvin. But let's talk about this game real quick. Seattle's at home. Now, they were unbeatable there until recently when they got beat there. The Giants right now are banged up so bad on defense that they're picking guys from everywhere and putting them on their practice squad, and guys are going from their practice squad to their active roster. They lost John Beeson. He was their defense. He was the guy in the middle. Kiwanuka and all these guys, JPP, they're not doing anything. You know why? Because they don't see Eli Manning. His numbers look fine. His quarterback rating's over 90. But, his number one receiver is gone for the year. My salsa guy from New Jersey.
Victor Cruz.
I love Victor Cruz. And he's gone for the year. They got the guy from LSU. He's doing okay. His tight end looked like he catches 3 touchdown passes, doesn't catch another touchdown pass for like 5 weeks. they just don't have a chance, especially against a mad Seattle team at home in the rain.
We also have Rashad Jennings out, and he was listed as doubtful.
He's not playing.
But he did not make the trip.
No, he didn't go, and he is their running game. They don't have, they lost their number one guy to that, you know, the bad spinal column industry. The guy from Virginia Tech, he was a second-year guy, was their number one draft choice a year ago. He's out for the year. You know what I'm taking here? I'm taking the over, and I'll tell you why. Seattle is going to be able to score at will on the Giants. Their defense, Seattle's, is half of what it was last year. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think the Giants will stay close. I think Seattle will loosen up a little bit. See what the total is? It's 44.5. That ain't a lot of points for Eli Manning and Russell Wilson. I'm going to take the over here in the rain. The spread is almost even, 52-48. If you love the Giants, take them, but you're going to lose. I'm not taking Seattle minus 9. They're not that good on defense. Take the over here as a good hedge for 4 stars. Next game. Oh, I love this game.
All right, we have the NFC North Christmas, basically. We have Green Bay minus 7.5 over Chicago.
This is the one that Dan Miller was talking about that he was interested in watching tonight because, you know, whatever, he needs Chicago to win. Chicago beats the Packers. It basically takes both of them down another game away from first place, especially if the Lions win today at home. Chicago's had a bye week. They should be okay. They've got Jay Cutler, so they'll never be okay mentally. Green Bay's minus 7.5. They're at home. They're tough at home. I think they've won 12 out of their last 15 games against Chicago anyway. Aaron Rodgers is a stud, but he did pull a hammy, you know, a week ago. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I think they've had a bye week. I think the Green Bay wins this game, but I think it'll be close. I'm not going to take Chicago and any points because they're not that good. Take the over. That's right, people. The over. Remember what
53.
I said? It's not windy up there. So in Lambeau Field, Cutler and Rodgers will be able to throw the ball all over the field. They both have great receivers. And their defenses, by the way, both defenses aren't very good. Chicago's not only isn't very good, they suck. And I don't mean that as a bad word. Yeah, I do. Suck. S-U-C-K. Suck. They're terrible. Take the over 53 points for 5 stars here. Next game. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to give you Monday night.
The Monday night game.
I'm giving you Monday night now.
Minus 7 over Carolina.
I was watching NFL matchup this morning, and I got to tell you, there's some great stuff on NFL matchup. That's Sal Palantonio, you know, guy wrote the horrible book on football. It's Ron Jaworski, and it's Haji. You know, the guy used to be the running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Merrill Hodge. I love him. He had big knot ties before they were big, you know, before they were cool. And I watched enough film of quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. I watched enough film of him to just make me bet against him every week. I mean, why wouldn't I release Philly minus 7 in Philadelphia? And here's the really fun part of this whole
with
play.
Nick Foles out.
With Nick Foles out and getting the butt and the damn butt tackle at quarterback. Mark Sanchez. I gotta tell you.
Never leave that,
Mark Sanchez leave that finally has a coach. You know, the coach for the Eagles doesn't care who his quarterback is. Matter of fact, he likes Sanchez more than he likes Foles, in my opinion. Now, he came out this week and said that wasn't true. And what he said was, I don't care who the quarterback is. I like my offense. I'll put somebody in there that will win with my offense. And guess what? He will. They're not only going to beat Carolina tomorrow night, they're going to destroy Carolina in Philadelphia tomorrow night because Philly needs the win so they can jump up there, you know, with stay with the Cowboys in the NFC East. Mm-hmm. It's going to be either the Cowboys or the Eagles in the NFC East. The Giants and the Redskins are done. Trust me. They're done. That's it. You can hit that again. There's really nothing else to talk about. I want you to hit it again. All right. Now, what was my straight cash? I mean, let's go over the. I'm going to go through these again. We got enough time to go through these.
Baltimore, Tennessee was your straight cash. Are you still?
No. I remember I got off of that. My straight cash was who the Jets are playing, Pittsburgh.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you just forgot. You need to mark the right one. All right. Here we go. Dallas, Jacksonville. I had no opinion. I don't even want to watch that game. Because I think somebody's going to get hurt. If Tony Romo starts, that's a mistake. That'll end up costing him later on. Just remember who told you that.
And they're calling him probable here.
Oh, he's going to play. He's practiced since Wednesday. Miami, Detroit. I took Detroit. Miami is hot. They're playing great. This could be a very close game. But I'm taking Detroit because they're at home and they're getting back some weapons. Kansas City, Buffalo. It's too close to call. I actually love Kansas City, but I am not playing it. There's no way. I'm going to leave that game alone. San Francisco, New Orleans. I'm not taking a game there. I took the over, but I did say that I would take 6 points in San Francisco for 3 stars. I am going to take San Francisco. It's a good thing that you just turned on your radio. Take San Francisco plus the points. Even though New Orleans has won 20 in a row for their head coach, Sean Payton there. Sean Payton was gone the year, remember, cost him $9 million because, we went into that one time. He got thrown out for Bountygate for the year. Pittsburgh's at the Tennessee, Baltimore. Take Baltimore. Don't ask any questions. And please don't say anything bad about Joe Flacco because he'll hear you. but take Baltimore minus 10. That's a good play. The Jets in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh might as well be playing at home. If you can drive there in a half of a day, they'll bring 25, 30,000 people with yellow towels. And there's plenty of Jets tickets, I think, on StubHub that you can get in for less than $100. So the Pittsburgh Steelers will probably be right between the 30s on one side of the field, screaming and hollering. Take Pittsburgh minus 4 here. That's my straight cash homie play. Atlanta's at Tampa Bay. That's right, Randy. Thank you very much. Atlanta's at Tampa Bay. I wouldn't touch this with anything you had. I almost said the wrong thing there. But leave that game alone.
Leave
that game alone. Atlanta, Tampa Bay, both of them are going to lose their head coaches at the end of the year. Denver's at Oakland. I'm taking Denver minus 12.5 in Oakland just because Peyton's mad. That's a good enough reason. Play them average.
Peyton, man.
Yeah, play. Yeah, it's like Gronk. Gronk spike. Bronk hate. Bronk love. Denver's at Oakland. Take Denver. St. Louis is at Arizona. What did I talk about with Arizona earlier? Value. Minus 7 is a big value over St. Louis at home for the best team in the NFL right now. Take Arizona to extend their wins this week. The Giants are at Seattle. Both defenses, not nearly what they used to be when they were good. Take the over here. The over is only 44.5. Play it big. Play it huge. Chicago's at Green Bay. A lot of points scored here. 53 points. Fun three-team teaser type activity with 43. A lot of people were on Green Bay minus 7.5. You know, that pulled hammy scares me with Rodgers. Oh, my God, this is the end of the show, isn't
it? Yes.
I didn't know that. And the last one was Monday night. Got to take Philadelphia. They're going to bounce Carolina around in that stadium. Matt, thanks so much for helping out today. It's been a great day. I can't wait to get in the car and turn on the radio and get ready for 1 o'clock. See you later, people.